After that beautiful and old familiar story from Luke, I want to go back to think about this line from the letter of Peter that Brian read for us. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. When I was about 12 years old, a couple of years before I was confirmed, I asked for an appointment with the rector of my church, the long-suffering William A. Eddy, Jr. Somehow we knew that he had come from a family to the east of Michigan, but in those days I did not know just how far east it was that he came from. His father had actually been born in Lebanon and had served as the ambassador to Saudi Arabia and as the president of Hobart College. And indeed, his father had died in Lebanon as well. Bill Eddy was not what we would regard today as a warmly pastoral rector. He was a brilliant man and an excellent manager of a large staff. He was a man of elegance and erudition. He smoked a straight pipe like Bing Crosby, and he wore a black leather belt around his cassock as a cincture. And I wanted to speak to him because I had just been to my first bar mitzvah. It was an event that had an enormous impact on me. To see Bob Kessler, who had already built a computer from a kit in the fourth grade, have his day at the front of his own synagogue reading from the Torah with the other men of my hometown's Jewish community. I was a kid who spent a pretty fair amount of time in church. It was there pretty much weekly. So I had a point of reference about religious ceremony, and this was pretty grand. When I wasn't being self-conscious about keeping my little yarmulke somehow perched on my head, I was taken in by the beauty of the prayer shawls that the men wore and the great reverence that the whole community showed to the scrolls as they were paraded around the pews. It all sounds like the pretty pious reflections of a 12-year-old, but to be honest, the thing that really impressed me was the party. It was in the function hall of the synagogue, and all of us fourth grade boys from Pinecrest Elementary School sat together at a table, which made sense because we all played together with Bob on the softball team sponsored by the Mormon church down the road. We all had these little plastic glasses where the stem and the base stick together, you know those? And we all thought we were having our first taste of champagne. I know now, given how much we drank, it must have been sparkling grape juice, but then it seemed pretty spectacular. Now, maybe just because I was jealous of this awesome party that Bob got, I had the experience of starting to think about the Jewishness of Jesus. I'd heard about that in Sunday school, but now being Jewish really meant something to me because I had been to a service in a synagogue. And it got me wondering, if Jesus came to teach us to love God and to be in a different sort of relationship with God, then why didn't we do what he asked us to do and spend more time talking about God and less time talking about Jesus? That was the question I decided I need to take into the office of the rector. And I remember being very nervous as I was shown into the rector's study and sat down across the desk from him, and he regarded me with a sort of kind smile. I do not remember the sort of answer I got to my question. I remember that the question was received with gentleness, but I don't remember the answer at all. I still think it wasn't a bad question. The answer I've come to find for myself is wrapped up in that little line from the first letter of Peter. Through him, you have come to have faith in God. When we seek to understand something that is beyond our imagining, we usually fashion tools for the purpose. We build telescopes to ferret out the mysteries of the cosmos, and microscopes to study the cell. We build X-ray machines to peer inside the mystery of the body, and sonar machines to penetrate the darkness of the sea floor. And when we can't fashion a machine to reveal to us the thing we're trying to understand, we are very good at creating analogs for things that are important for us to understand, but that we cannot directly experience. So throughout human history, our impulse for spirituality has caused us to do this when it comes to our way of explaining God. Human cultures have created any number of metaphors in an effort to explain or convey the idea of God. God is wind or earthquake or thunder or the sun. The great insight of the Jewish people was to imagine God as expressed not through natural phenomena, but through a way of keeping social order, the Ten Commandments, the law of the Torah. That is the tradition that Jesus was shaped by. But Jesus offered a totally different way of understanding God. Jesus has a relationship with God, unmediated by any kind of metaphor or image. Jesus has a direct personal relationship with God. He does not speak of God as wind or fire or thunder. He does speak of the law, but when Jesus speaks of God, he describes a very familiar person, a loving parent. And for the people closest to him, and today for us, the clarity of Jesus' direct and personal relationship with God becomes so compelling that for us, Jesus is God. Jesus becomes what he exemplifies, a direct experience set within the limits of human existence, of the very being of God. So it is the long bridge that connects God as metaphor to God as direct experience that is crossed by that road to Emmaus. Jesus himself becomes the means for that personal relationship with God. As they begin walking along, those poor disciples, so downtrodden by what has happened to them, are recounting the story of what the law promised about God. And Jesus picks up the theme with them. They are all explorers, taking this companion along as they scout out the full dimensions of the promises the law had made to us about God and our relationship with God. But it's in the moment that they realize that God wants that relationship changed, to move the metaphors away and the images and analogs away, and to put the very self of God right in the picture with us, that they suddenly realize who this is with them. A fellow pilgrim, God among us, chosen to be with us, sharing this life with us. Jesus, the Christ of God, has become for us a direct experience of the reality of God. It is as though through Jesus, the differing perspectives that we all have of God, Christians all over the world, all of those different perceptions cohere through a kind of reverse prism into a pure, true light that reveals the very self of God. We ourselves have that experience of the Emmaus Road when we gather at the table to break bread together. We have the same direct experience of God that God made possible through Jesus when we encounter each other as living members of the body of Christ. Through each member of this community, each relationship that we make in this place, We see and hear and touch something of the living God. Our Easter faith, our baptismal life, is lived in the presence of the God who came to live among us. And we find that presence in the community God has given to us as our companions along the road. Amen.